Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. These are the first words of Zechariah after he had been silenced by an angel for the entire pregnancy of his wife. 9 months. His words are echoed throughout the church today in morning prayer. At the seminary in Fort Wayne, and I'm sure at St. Louis too, this song is sung almost every week. Now maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's start at the beginning of this miraculous event. Now see, Zechariah was a priest in the temple of God, and his wife's name was Elizabeth. And Zechariah was chosen to go in to perform the sacrifice before the Lord and to give the prayers in the presence of the Most High. And the scriptures tell us about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth that they were both righteous before God and that they were walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But to this point, even the point when Zechariah was to go and pray before God, they were without child. Elizabeth was barren, and both of them were advanced in years, meaning the hope of children had left them a long time ago. One other piece of background that I can tell you is that Elizabeth is Mary's older cousin. Mary, the mother of Jesus. To continue on, this childless Zechariah was chosen to serve the temple on the day of our miraculous event. And on this day, the people watched. Just any normal church service. They watched as Zechariah entered in to the temple to give the sacrifice and to give the prayers. And they remained. Now, most of the time, they had no idea what exactly was going on in there. They probably had some soft-speaking priests, maybe some loud-speaking. But they were out in the temple court, but they all waited while the priest was in the inside. They waited for the priest to come out to give the benediction. The priest would come out after the sacrifice saying the same benediction that we give. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So the people waited for Zechariah to give this. But on this day, something went wrong. Zechariah didn't come out of the temple at the usual time. The congregation waited and waited and waited. And then finally, he came out. But when he came out, he could not give the benediction. He couldn't speak at all. Now imagine if you and I, we go to a regular church service just like always. In our Lutheran tradition, we begin with the service of confession and absolution. Now imagine if you confess your sins and then the pastor turns around and then nothing. He can't speak. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't form the words. This is what happened that day. It seems impossible, but that's what happened. Luke explains to us exactly what happened to Zechariah that unusual day. He writes that as Zechariah was in the temple, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said, so now we're like looking back, what took place? What happened that made Zechariah so dumbfounded when he walked out of the sanctuary? Luke writes that Gabriel appeared to him and said, Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. He will make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Now when Zechariah heard this, even from visiting an angel, he didn't believe it. He said, "But my wife and I, we are old." In other words, this can't happen. And because Zechariah didn't believe, Gabriel gave him a sign. The angel said, "Behold, you will be silent. You will be unable to speak until the day that these things take place." And when that Zechariah emerged from the temple, he emerged as a speechless priest who would be the father to the one who would be the voice crying out in the wilderness. That gives me the chills to think about. The speechless priest has a child who will be the voice. 9 months after he emerged from the Holy of Holies, unable to speak, we see Zechariah writing the name John on a tablet to tell the people surrounding his newborn child what his name will be. His name is John. And as Zechariah wrote, the Holy Spirit filled him and his tongue was loosed. Imagine if your tongue was tied for one day. Just one day. 24 hours. You would have a lot to say after not being saying anything. And I went to a camp at college. And at this camp, they didn't encourage us. They said one of the rules is you're not allowed to talk for the whole day. So this was a challenge in our small groups that we were to, without talking, carry on. We had to make a meal plan for ourselves. We had to cook. We had to do all of this stuff without talking. By the end of that day, we just talked about what it was like not talking. Imagine 9 months worth of that. You wouldn't believe what I was going through. No, the first thing he starts doing is blessing the Lord. He was overwhelmed as he saw this promise unfold. The thing that he had to say was the Lord's goodness before anything else. When Zechariah was able to talk, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." This prophecy lets us know, or lets the people know, that the Messiah was near. In fact, God in the flesh was already on the earth. As Zechariah sang these verses, the God of all creation was holding court, if you will, in the womb of John's cousin, of Elizabeth's cousin, Mary. He had visited, and he is in him, it's as good as done. He will redeem the people. And this is a sure sign. Mary is in the third month of her pregnancy. And here, the forerunner is being born. And the Holy Spirit also moved Zechariah to make a prophecy about his son, John. And as a father, I can't imagine what this would be like. But he holds his little boy, knowing full well that this boy is a sure sign that God is with them. And he holds his son and he says, "And you, my child, you are going to be called a prophet of the Most High. And you will go before the Lord to prepare His way." And I mentioned to you that John was the forerunner. It was foretold John's birth. It was foretold Jesus' birth. John was born. Jesus was born. You know something else? John would die. Jesus would die. Every part of John's life was pointing to what the Savior would be doing. But John knew that he was not the Lamb of God. That was Jesus. He pointed to Jesus and he said about him, "Behold, he's the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world." They said, "Are you the Christ?" "No, I am not the Christ. One is coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." John's job was to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins that would come through the Lamb of God. Zechariah's son would not be a priest like his father, even though he was of the priestly line, a Levite. He would not offer bloody sacrifices on the temple altar. Instead, he would point to the final sacrifice, the one through whom flowed the blood of the new covenant. It would be John's job to prepare the way for the Savior, to proclaim Jesus as that Lamb. Now, Zechariah's song begins with the words. He sings of the prophets of old. He also sings of the covenant that God established with Abraham. It begins with "of old," but then it does something else. It says, "Remember, now look. The future is at hand." With Zechariah, we want to do this same thing. We want to remember and we want to look forward. With Zechariah, we give thanks to the Lord God who has kept his promise to our fathers. He's remembered his holy covenant. And with Zechariah, we sing about God's salvation and forgiveness of sins that Jesus has achieved for us. And we, along with Zechariah's son, we do something else. We prepare the way of the Lord. We prepare the people that are around us for the second coming of Jesus. And how do we do this? The same way that John prepared the people with his first coming. Through repentance, through baptism. When we have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, it is something that we receive, but it is also a testimony that God is still working in this world. You're not alone. This world is not forsaken. With all the craziness in the news, with all the craziness that you hear about, you're wondering, is anybody in control? Does anybody know what's going on? God's word testifies that God does. And he is working things, all things, for the salvation of those who will receive Jesus' word. This morning, we will be singing the song of Zechariah, the same one that he sang when his son John was born. And we will thank God that he has visited and redeemed his people, even you and I. And we'll pray that God will use us in our vocations as he used John, that God would use us to prepare people to receive the grace of God in Christ Jesus through the way that we treat them and through the word that we share with them. And now may this same Jesus keep you in the peace that surpasses all understanding until he returns for you. Amen.